the great council word to us.
Thank you very much. Is that for me?
It's recording, you're recording.
Oh, okay, thank you. Good morning, once again. I was just thinking this morning, it's about the third or possibly the fourth time that we've been here, and it's a real privilege for us, I have to say. We always find a very warm welcome and we feel at home. So just be encouraged with that, really. There's a number of things I'd like to share from the Word of God this morning, but I know Ros has got a testimony to share, but I just wanted to ask you, have you seen or heard of the New Year message from the General Superintendent of the Elam Churches, Chris Cartwright? A couple of weeks ago, on the 7th of January, I was due to have been in Birmingham. I'm part of the National Elam Prayer Team, and that's a great privilege for me. And there was the national leadership team of Elam were hosting that prayer gathering. It was online a couple of weeks ago. We were due to have been there in person, but we got flu, so we were unable to go. But we participated online. But Chris was sharing about what he felt God had put on his heart about awakening. And it's the theme of the National Leaders Conference during the course of this year in May. And there were a number of things that he shared, really. And it's really about encouraging Elam churches to be equipped and to equip others for the work of the ministry. And to see that God wants the church to begin to arise and not just to exist to bring care and comfort and help and support, but also to be the people of God, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry that God has called them to fulfill and to do. And everyone in the room here today has a purpose in God. If you're available, and that's the key thing, is to be available, to be used by the Lord, to reach out, to be salt and light in our community, and to be the challenge that's needed in our dark world in which we live, where there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of heaviness, a lot of challenges, all sorts of things that face us in society. And we, the church, are to shine a light. And I don't know about you, Earl, but I saw that the worship team were actually out in the public domain in the town here before Christmas singing. I saw something on social media where there was a recording of the team actually singing out there, singing carols and other songs. And that was brilliant to see because it came across really, really well. And before Christmas, there were countless thousands, tens of thousands of Christians right across the country, out in the town square, in the towns and villages and the cities across the nation, shining the light for Jesus, declaring the goodness of the Lord. And it was tremendous to be part of that and to be involved with it. So I just felt I wanted to share those few thoughts with you this morning. Be prepared for God to use you this year. It's not just another year. It's a year for God's light in you to shine through you. And sometimes it's not about what we say. It's about how we live that demonstrates the light. Because our changed lives from the inside out affects our lifestyle. And that lifestyle will be a challenge to the world because it will flow in an opposite direction to the way that the world flows. Amen? Are you up for this?
Yeah.
Don't be quiet on me. I like to have congregational participation because this is a heart thing for me. I'm not here today just to talk at you. It's about, does God have something to say in and through what we're sharing with you today that will bring encouragement, will bring challenge, and will bring us a pointer to what God wants to do in and through you for the year to come? Amen? So please pray that God will just have something as we share today that will touch your heart and change you so that you can be what God intends for you to be during the course of this year. Amen?
Amen.
Lord bless you. Ros, just come in and just share for a few minutes with me. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And I really wanted to share because I remembered this time, well, it was March last year, I believe, one of our early visits to meet you and see you and speak. I actually shared about my eyesight and my vision. I don't know if there's anybody here that can remember it. But one of the things I'd been through was quite a serious eye operation. Not this Christmas just gone, but the previous, just before the previous Christmas. And those of you who were here in March might remember that I said at that time I was really struggling because my vision in my right eye was very limited and I couldn't see your faces as I was standing talking. I could see you, but I couldn't see the details of your faces. Well, I want to tell you, I can see every single detail of your face today. My operation was on the back of the right eye. I've also had both cataracts removed. One was during the operation, they did the cataract at the same time. I've also had the left eye, the healthy eye, cataract removed, which has made a terrific difference. But all through the year, they've been saying to me, every time I've been to the hospital, don't get new glasses yet, wait for your right eye to improve, wait for your right eye. So I've been struggling, Roger, haven't I, with very outdated glasses that weren't right for my eyes. But my appointment I went to just before Christmas, the consultant said, oh, this is the optimum time, you can get your glasses done. And the other good news is that I've been told I can drive again, which I haven't been able to drive for over a year now. And so from about September on, I was given the freedom to drive, and I've just renewed my license. Anybody over 70 will know you have to renew them every 3 years now, so I've renewed my license and was able to say that my eyesight was fine for reading, I think it's 20 metres or something like that, for the car registration. You have to be able to see in that amount clearly. But yes, but I can see more than that. In fact, the optician, when I was my eyes were being measured, she said, whoa, 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 she was going because of the improvement. There is still an issue with the back of my right eye, so I'm still trusting the Lord. What happens is that where the membrane was taken away, it's liable to get swelling and leakage, which is called oedema, which you can get in all parts of the body, amazingly. So from time to time, I have steroid implants, which have actually, sounds awful, but it's amazing what they can do these days, which has brought the swelling down. But I'm trusting God that swelling can stay down without the implants. So that's what I'm believing him for. But I'm grateful, and I just wanted to tell you, because it was this congregation where I was feeling very low in March last year, because I was thinking, what on earth is going to happen? And God knows about your life. It's the same as I was saying to the young people, he has watchfulness over our lives. So I'd like to encourage anybody that's got something in the health line that they're feeling concerned and feeling what is going to happen. Maybe it's not you, maybe it's somebody in your family. Just cover it all in prayer and be thankful that he is watchful over your life situation.
Thank you, Ros. It was no small thing for Ros, and I think everyone, when things happen like that, Alex, that affect you physically, you can get quite anxious about it, and you wonder what's going to be happening, and it just certainly helped me to not take things for granted. And it's important in life that we don't take things for granted. And it's in line with that this morning, I felt I wanted just to share with you just a few thoughts about being close to God and making every effort to do that ourselves, drawing close to him. It's really important. We we take, even as Christians, we take things for granted somehow, that God will automatically do things, and in life you just live your life and expect things to happen. Actually, it's so important to hear what God is saying and be led in the way that he wants to lead us, and allow ourselves to do that, rather than just assume that all is going to work to be well. In life, in reality, all is not well in life. Everything doesn't happen the way that we want things to go. That's the reality of it. But the difference for us as Christians is that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in us, the strength, is the strength of our lives. And drawing from that every day, not just in times of crisis, but when things are going well, is important to not lose sight of the fact that you need to draw close to God and continue to do so. It's really, really important. So I've been asking God about what to share with you here today, and God led me to a scripture, and you're probably very familiar with this scripture. It's James chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. And it says this in the NIV version: submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Often people say resist the devil and he will flee from you. Actually, you forget the bit which is before that. Submit yourself therefore to God. It's only in God that you have the authority to be able to resist the devil and see him flee. Because it's not in our own strength that we face life. We face challenges. We face the powers of darkness and all that he tries to bring. He tries to worry us. He tries to pull us down. He tries to undermine us. He tries to actually tell us lies about ourselves and about other people and situations. But the way that we as Christians need to live is that we draw close to God and see it from his perspective, not our own perspective, and then resist the devil. So you draw close to him. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. And then it says in verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. And there's a key for all of us today, at the beginning of this new year, that we are the people that draw close to God and choose to do so. And then we'll see him draw close to us. We think it's the other way around, and we say, oh God, please help me Lord, help me in this. And that's fine. He does respond and he does hear us. But actually, we need to consciously, by choice, draw near to him. And then he will draw near to us. And then it continues, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Is there anyone apart from me that has trouble sometimes with the heart issues? Things that you read, things that you see, conversations that you have. Your heart is always the challenge. The mind is also a battleground. Things that you read, things that you see, things that you watch. The conversations that you have. You know, they're part of the gateways. The eyes are the part of the gateways. I mean, Ros has been talking about eyes, and those are the physical eyes, but also there are spiritual eyes. The physical and the spiritual go together. With the hearing, what you hear, the spiritual and the physical. You'll hear things said, how you interpret it, how you respond to it. You need God in the mix to help you to discern and to understand. Is that something that's right to be listening to, that somebody is speaking to me about? Or is that wrong? Is it undermining? Is it hurtful? Is it error? And if it is, sometimes you need to say, I'm sorry, I don't accept that. And it's a hard thing to do sometimes, but sometimes you need to do it. I'm sorry, I can't accept that. I'm not going to listen to this, and then walk away. Has anyone ever done that? I've had people give me prophecy, and what they think is prophecy, and say something to me. God is saying this to me about you. On a couple of occasions in the past, I've had people say things to me, and my spirit really conflicted with what was being said, and it didn't ring true to me. So I said, I'm sorry, I can't receive that. I don't receive that. Because what you receive and you accept goes down into your spirit. So you need to make choices about what you receive. Not everything everybody says to you is right, is truthful, is encouraging. is what God wants you to be hearing at that moment. That's why the word of God is important. The lamp to our feet, the light to our path. This written word, we need to read it. We need to understand what it's saying to us, because it will help us as we go. And then as we do that, and that intellectually, your memory bank will have the scripture in there. And your prayer, as you draw close to God, and he draws close to you, that communication, that intimacy with God that you develop will enable you to understand his ways more and more and be sensitive to the flowing of the Holy Spirit, so that when you are speaking with people, you're listening to something that's, you know, not every preacher or every teacher says the right things. We need to be discerning as God's people to actually receive, hear and understand. And you don't have to swallow everything that everybody says. Even what I'm saying this morning, there won't be perfection in it, and far from it. There'll be humanity in it, there'll be stuff in it. But you need to discern what the Spirit of God is saying, and that's what you hold on to. Some of the stuff you leave aside. So I want to encourage you today. I feel this quite strongly right now. Some of you are listening to things and hearing things that you need to be more discerning about. And I don't say that with any in any other way, is that I want the best for you. Some of you need to be more discerning about what you listen to, what you're watching, so that your spirit, your soul, your mind doesn't get clouded over. It doesn't get robbed from you. Your walk with God doesn't get taken away and robbed from you. We need to really discern in life. In this year, I determined to try and hear the voice of God much more in my life, so that I walk in his ways and walk and live out the kind of life that he wants me to live, so that I can be used by him to make a difference in our world. Does that make sense to you? So don't swallow everything that you hear. Everybody, you know, and Pastor Dave and others that speak here from the church, they will do their very best to prepare and say things. And you will receive and hear, and you'll be encouraged by things the same. But in everything, myself included, you discern what you feel is the right thing to receive from what's being said this morning. Don't just swallow everything. But hear what God is trying to say to you. There may be challenges that you'll find difficult to grasp hold of. But if you want to change and you want to become more like Jesus and be used by him, you need to respond to what's being said, not react. There is a difference between reacting and responding when God is speaking to us. Then there's another scripture that God led me to, in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14, and it says this: "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Whenever you draw close to God, he listens. His heart is for you. Do you believe that this morning? God knows what's best for us. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And there's the key. It's all of your heart. You need to really want this. How desperate are you for God? Do you want to see him move in your situation? Have you got answers to prayer that you're looking to God for? Ros and I, we're praying about things, and we have been praying about things, particular things, for decades. And we pray together, but we haven't seen answers to prayer for yet. But God has promised us, prophetically and in other things, don't worry about it, just keep praying. Keep pressing in. You will see it. And it's important that we understand that we seek God with all of our heart. And it says, "If you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you," declares the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. And it says, "And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you," declares the Lord, "and will bring you back to a place from where I carried you into exile." Sometimes in life as Christians, in the nation in which we live, when you look around the world, you feel as if you're in exile. Is this really a place where I want to live? With all this stuff going on, you turn the news on, and it's just news after news after news. This issue, that issue, all the way around the world, wars and rumours of wars, earthquakes. earthquakes and volcanoes and winds and hurricanes and all of these things. It's an indication, it says in the end times in the scriptures, all of these things are signs that the Lord, before the Lord comes back again. And in terms of drawing close to God, and he draws close to us, it's really about preparing ourselves for his return. We, you know, when we get saved, when we yield our heart and our life to the Lord and make him Lord of our lives, it's not just so that you get saved and then you're going to go to heaven when you die. It's true, you will, but it's more than that. God wants you to live and be fulfilled on this earth and serve him while the time that you're here. All the time, this precious time that we've got living on this earth, God wants us, and if we are to be true to our faith and true as disciples of God, we need to actually yield our lives to him and serve him. Not just live, do what we want to do in life, but do what he wants us to do. And in doing so, we'll be fulfilled, but we'll also be preparing ourselves for the coming of the King. We are the bride of Christ. We need to make ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the bread of life, the new wine, the living water. Come on, the names of God. What were some of the other names of God? What did Jesus call himself?
Prince of Peace.
Mighty God.
The door.
The door. Come on, more. There's more, isn't there? The true vine.
Wonderful counselor.
Wonderful counselor. What comes next?
Prince of Peace. We said it.
Yeah, mighty God.
Everlasting
Father. Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. We are to prepare ourselves for the coming of the King. Yes, we're going to go to heaven when we die, but the stuff that God wants us to be doing for him and in his strength while we're here on this earth. We don't want to fritter away the time. I don't know about you, but I want the rest of it. It's why I'm retired. You know, I retired in 2019. What's retirement, by the way? Anyone got any idea what retirement is? I still want to serve them. I didn't retire. You don't retire as a Christian, do you? Do you retire as a Christian? A disciple of Jesus? You just do different things. That's why I'm here today. I want to serve the Lord for as long as I can with all the strength that God has given to me. I've still got a battle inside of me. You know, when I get sick and things stop me, I hate it. Stop me from serving the Lord. I'm in a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to go to Birmingham to be with all the team there and pray and seek God for the nation, for the movement and so on. I wanted to be there. I hated being at home. And yet I just had to say, well, God, it's one of these times for me right now when, it says in Psalm 23, I will make you lie beside still waters. You know, sometimes God does that. He sets you aside in order that, what? You get well, yes, but also you hear from him. Even in the midst of the toughest of times, you can hear the voice of the Lord. Sometimes it's a still, small voice, and sometimes he needs to take you aside so that you can hear what he's saying. In all the noise of our world, in the noise of our plans and our programs and our diaries and our social media, you know, I've got an iPhone, I've just got a new iPhone contract and so on. And all the stuff that you get, all the social media, all the things that, the TikTok and the Instagram and the Facebook and, you know, the surfing for this and that and the emails and the texts and the WhatsApps and all of those things. You know, if you go, I don't have it on so that it rings, otherwise it'd be going ting, 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 ting all the time. But that's the noise of the world. There are times when we need to say, right, that goes away. You silence it and you give time to the Lord. Draw close to him and he will draw close to you. Don't lose sight of what God has meant you to be and to do and to the way he wants to use you to serve him. I just wanted to share with you this morning that this is the deep thing of my heart today, is the Father heart of God. And that he wants you to be secure in the knowledge that your life is in his hands. You know, there's an old hymn, the old hymns from years ago. Some of you are too young to even know about this. I'm in his hands, I'm in his hands, whatever the future holds, I'm in his hands. Some of you have never heard of this before. It's an old hymn. Anyone know this one? I'm in his hands. No? Nobody? Oh, well. Well, Ros and I were both brought up in the Salvation Army. The particular songs and hymns and so on that are in hymn books and so on. And so some of those will be from that time of our past. And God has led us, and we've done different things over the years. But my heart this morning is that we be secure in the knowledge that God, our Heavenly Father, understands what's going on in our lives. He understands the pressures. He understands the things that people are saying to you. He understands when people accuse you, falsely accuse you. He understands when people poke and say things. He understands when you feel pressure about something. He understands when you feel anxious. He understands when you feel fearful. He understands when there's things going on that seem a little bit out of control. He's still there for you. And the scripture says, if that's true this morning, God will come to you. As you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. Over the years, I've discovered that there is a difference between happiness and joy. Joy, the scripture says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Happiness depends upon happenings. It depends upon circumstances. In other words, you feel happy when things are going well, but you don't feel happy when things are going badly. But the one thing which is a constant, which is different to that, is joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, no matter what goes on in our life. So even in the midst of pressure, stress, trouble, grief, sickness, all of those issues, you can still have the joy of the Lord. Because he dwells within us by his Spirit. He's never not there. Sometimes he feels afar away. But he isn't. He is always there. And so we need to be encouraged by that this morning. So the joy of the Lord is what we need. And so I just want to help you this morning just to understand that God, your Heavenly Father, is here for you. I want to encourage you to have an open heart and mind to what God is wanting to say and do in our lives, so that we will serve him and we will be available to him. He is the way of salvation for us. Psalm 73 verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hallelujah. Shall I read that again? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and is my portion forever. So today I want to highlight several biblical characters and stories that will help us to see God's nature and character as Father. So there are three scriptures and three lessons, three key things I would like to bring to you about that demonstrates the heart of the Father towards us. Now, I do understand that in the room there may well be people who've got mixed views and feelings about Father and what Father represents. Because there are people, and we've met them over the years, who've had good and bad experiences in respect to Father. And I understand that. But I want to tell you, I've got my own experiences and understandings about things, but over the years I've discovered that God, my Heavenly Father, will never fail. He's always there. He's not distant, he is near. And if I follow the principles of the scriptures that I've shared with you already this morning, I choose to draw close to him, he will draw close to me. He will never fail us. He will never let us down. He is faithful. He is true. He is real. He's not imaginary. He is supernatural. He's not just in the natural realm. He is a supernatural God. seen that over the years, God doing some amazing things. So here, the first passage of scripture is very familiar to you. And I'm just mindful of time, and I don't want to sort of overdo things, because I do know sometimes there's only so much information people can receive and be able to find useful and helpful. So the first is a familiar passage from Luke 15, the Gospel of Luke 15, verses 11 through 13, the parable of the lost son. And this is the story briefly. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And I don't know about you, but when I look back over my own life, in my teenage years, late teens, early 20s, I was a bit like that. I was actually a hypocrite. I lived the life of a Christian in the church, well, in the Salvation Army as it was at the time, but out there, I didn't really think about God too much. I just lived a life fairly wildly and did stuff and got involved with stuff which messed me up, to be honest. And actually, I got very low with it. And it was at a later point when I got low and I was a failure in exams and academic studies and some relationship stuff and a whole mixture of things. There were lots of things in and around family and other things which I was very confused about. But then God never let go of me. I'd given my life to the Lord at about the age of 7. And I knew that God had touched me because there was a conscience that I had, and I knew when I'd done wrong, and I used to respond in a particular way. But towards the end of that time, God never let hold of me, never let go of me, and he found me again. And through the reading of his word, through prayer, through meeting with Christians who were on fire for God, my life got changed. I repented, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and my life was transformed. And it's gone on from there, from the age of about 22, 23. And I'm forever grateful for that, because I never wanted to go back. I never want to go back to what that was and the horrible feelings that I experienced then. So I can identify with the prodigal living, because part of my spiritual inheritance was kind of lost during that time. And yet it wasn't lost, because God restored. And I'm really grateful for his healing and restoration and the freedom that he brought. But then going on to this particular passage, he said to himself and realized to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against your heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let's eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. I'm forever grateful to God that he didn't let go of me. I gave my life to the Lord at 7. And at the age of 22, got restored, got set free. And I needed some deliverance. I needed some healing. And it took 5 years for a lot of stuff that was in my memory banks, and the hurts and the manipulation and the control of people. You know, anyone experience manipulation and control from people in life, in families, in work, and in college and in school and stuff like that? I've had that. And it took a long time for me to get sorted out in my thinking. You know, and I've lived out what it says in Romans 12, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10, take captive the thoughts, bring them into subjection to Jesus Christ, because those things are setting themselves up, not against just against you, but against God himself that's at work in you. And so our thought life is really important. And it took me 5 years, fully 5 years, 7 years, to actually get a lot of the stuff that used to whoosh back into my memory and get free from all of that stuff. And every now and again, it kind of drifts back, and then I shove it away. I say, in Jesus' name, that's gone. That's part of the past. You know, that's the active thing, is as you draw close to God and he draws close to you, you need to continue to battle and say no to those things that try and pull you down. You know, I'm not a passive Christian. Ross will know this. Go and talk to her about it. I'm not passive when it comes to my faith. I am active, and I'm at war with a lot of the stuff that goes on that tries to pull me down. And I encourage you to be the same. So there are some keys about the heart of the Father. The second example of God's covenant available to us when we seek him and are obedient to him is really the heart of the Father. Is Genesis 17, when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make a covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer your name will be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. I also give to you and your descendants after you in the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. As Abraham, who became Abraham, yielded to God, what promises God made to him. Amen? And in Jesus, you have all of that. In Christ Jesus, you have all of that. If you're born again and you know the Lord, the Spirit of God is at work in you, all of those promises, even given to Abraham, are because we're part of the seed that's gone through. We're a new creation in Christ. All of those promises are for us. God wants us to excel. He wants us to grow and develop. He wants to bless us. He wants us to prosper us. And I'm not talking about financial prosperity and goods and stuff and things. And you can have all of that and not be happy. All of those things won't make you happy. Money won't make you happy. All of that stuff. You need it. And it's great when God provides for us. But then the responsibility that we have is to be good stewards of what God provides. It doesn't belong to me anyway. You know, all the stuff that's in here, and the wallet, and all the things that we've got, doesn't belong to me, or blood. It belongs to the Lord, if I'm truly one of his servants. Does that make sense to you? That's the sacrifice of discipleship that we make. If any man come after me, you deny himself and take up his cross to follow me. That's the. If you're a true disciple of Jesus, everything is for Jesus. You live for Jesus. And just coming back to the Father, heart of God, you know, the old song we used to sing with the kids in Sunday school, Father Abraham of many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. The promise of God is for us. What God has for us is good. God believes in us. Why don't you say that to yourself this morning? God believes in me. When you go home today, I've said this a couple of times recently to folks, I just really feel you need to look in the mirror. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you like what you see? I'm serious. I'm serious about it. This is not just a flippant thing. Look in the mirror when you go home and say, what do you see? You're a child of God. You're the best of what God made. Say it to yourself in the mirror. You are. You're God's masterpiece. We are God's prime creation. Yes, there are the animals and there are stuff and there's the world that God made. But when God looked at what he had made in Adam and Eve, it was the best of what he made. The scripture says so. When God looks at you, so speak to yourself in the way that God would speak to you. Not the way that you think you are. Sometimes we think of ourselves as failures. You know, we've lost it, we've messed it up, we've done this. And yes, a lot of time in life we have messed things up, if we're really honest. I know I have. And you can feel failure, and you can feel pulled down. But actually, that's not the way that God sees you. Like with the prodigal son, even then when we've messed up, God restores us. He hasn't left us alone. As we draw close to him again, and we open our hearts and minds to him again, he restores and he brings healing to us. And then just the third and the final lesson. Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. This is the Father heart of God. So this is about obedience, really. Jesus showed what the Father was like by the way that he lived. John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, if we are in Christ, which is what the book of Ephesians tells us, we are in Christ Jesus, then that should be us too. We only do what the Father tells us to do. Does that make sense? As Christians. So let's be obedient to the Lord and obey our Heavenly Father. Jesus was a shepherd, John 10:14. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. God laid everything down, his Son. Laid everything down for you and for me. Are you grateful for that this morning?
Yes.
I certainly am. Hallelujah. So he is a shepherd to us. He's an example to us. There's also obedience. John 6:38. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. That's what Jesus said of himself. And so God's role as Father, these are some of the characteristics of our Heavenly Father this morning, and I'm drawing to a conclusion now. And you'll recognise some of this, and you'll recognise some of this in one another, because the Father heart of God is expressed through his church. That's why it's good to be together. We were talking about it before the service today. It's good to have church during the pandemic online, and to have the opportunity to still meet and hear the word of the Lord and to worship and do those things. But actually, there's nothing like actually physically being together. Iron sharpens iron. We share with one another. We're compassionate to one another. We pray with one another, as we've done this morning. So here are some of the characteristics. Compassion. Compassionate. Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. A fatherly nature. 2 Corinthians 6:18. And I will be father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. There's wisdom. Proverbs 4:11. I will instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. He's a restorer, Malachi 4:6. He will turn the hearts of the parents, the hearts of the fathers, to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. The power of God that's at work by the Spirit of God is able to restore relationships. Where there's broken relationships in listen, with my own father, I let him down a number of times. There was some occasions when I was very young, and this shows you how old I am. My dad used to have a little money box, and he used to keep threepenny bits in it. Anyone know what a threepenny bit is?
Yes.
Funny sort of outsided 8-sided coin. They used to store them in there, and I knew he used to store them in there, and I didn't used to have very much pocket money and stuff, and I was a real imp. I used to go and take some of these out and spend them on some sweets and stuff. Anyway, he caught me. I felt dreadful. Those are some of the experiences and memories that you have. But he restores. I was forgiven. I'm glad for that. He disciplines us and he shapes us. Hebrews 12:7, our Heavenly Father. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? You know, discipline is hard, isn't it? When you're being disciplined. And there's a way to do discipline. There's some harsh ways which are not right. But there are. We need to be disciplined at times, don't we? It's so that we can become more like Jesus. It's so that we can be better people. And that's what it's about, really. So even our God life needs to discipline us from time to time. Here's another characteristic. Forgiving and loving. Luke 15:20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. That's that story of the prodigal son again. Our Heavenly Father is also an example. Here's Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. I'm sure I've probably done that with our two grown-up kids in the past. Exasperated the children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There are ways to train. There are ways to oversee. There are ways to correct. Let's try and do life and with our families in the way that will be pleasing to God. Amen? So let's qualities for us to emulate and to bring to the people around us. And then I'm going to pray together. Have a deep love for God, like Abraham did. Be a good example and mentor people like Jesus did. Be people that create security. And this is a key thing for the church to be, a place, a safe place where people feel secure. Another quality is to have respect. Respect for God, respect for those in authority, respect for one another, respect for family, people. And we do that by the way that we consistently speak and behave ourselves. Another characteristic is to be self-controlled and to be able to behave with wisdom and tact. Do you know, self-control is not a gift, it's a fruit. You know, the nine gifts of the Spirit, but there are also nine fruits. So self-control is in something that grows. And so here's just my final thoughts, and then I'm going to pray. Some of the attributes of someone who has the Father heart of God will be to lead carefully and not to drive people. A father, people want to be around a good father. They'll feel secure. A good father knows how to diffuse and deflect tension. A good father is someone who can give advice and is sought out for that advice. A good father is a place and a person where they can feel safe and secure being around them. And a good father is able to bring correction that builds up and doesn't pull down. So finally, James 4:8 again, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's draw close to God this morning. You know, when we get an intimate relationship with our God, we are able to call him Abba, Father, which basically means Daddy, that closeness to our God. Let's just pray together, shall we? Now I'll hand back to John. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would indeed sift out the things which have been shared. Lord, remove from the memory banks those things which are not relevant, but help people just to hold on to things which have been said, that will enable them to grow and to develop and to be encouraged and to be built up, to go on into this year with a determination to serve you, to love themselves too, but also to love those around with the strength that you give. I pray, Father, that you'll, Lord, just touch people here who have perhaps felt fatherless. Lord, I pray that there will be an increasing sense of your presence to come that will bring a security to them, for them to know that you love them deeply. Lord, for those who've been hurt and felt pain and the pain in memories, Lord, concerning fatherlessness and the issues around that, Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll bring healing and restoration to them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Roger.